Hi, everyone. I'm Seth with Reps to Revenue. We're here to connect with CrossFit gym owners, whether you're just dreaming about opening a box or been running one for years. Reps to Revenue dives into real stories of how gym owners turned their love of CrossFit into thriving businesses, sharing what worked, what didn't, and everything in between. And I'm excited to welcome Brian, owner of Midstate CrossFit. Thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, we'll just start out. Where are you located and when did you start your gym, Brian?
So, excuse me, Brian Boucher from fishing community called New Bedford, Massachusetts, significantly far away from where I live now.
Yeah, you are.
in Merced, California. I moved to the Merced and Central Valley area in 2011 on July 4th. And that's when we started our road trip. And I've called the Central Valley of California home since then, so about 14 years. We started CrossFit in 2013. We had watched the ESPN coverage of the prior year's CrossFit on the hotel televisions as like the groomsmen were getting ready. And mm-hmm. My wife was back and out. We were, you know, looking at each other, but texting each other like, hey, there's this cool thing on ESPN. We had some friends in the CrossFit space, but that was new and different. And then when we went to Cabo San Lucas, which is like our kind of our home away from home, we had met some CrossFitters that were going to that 2013 CrossFit Games. And it was really, they're out of CrossFit Texas in Austin, Texas. And I actually still communicate with them. And I would call them friends at this point after all these years, but you know, like pen pals. And when we got back, we joined a local affiliate and some coaches within that affiliate wanted to start something new, something different. And Gabby and I had always, being a transplant, I always wanted to be part of something like the beginning of something, because that's how you can really formulate adult friendships. And so Midstate CrossFit was formed in 2014. I was client 001 on the Zen Planner. And I found that out like years later after we took ownership of the business, but after being leadership and coaches on the coaching staff and helping with the books and putting paint on the wall, and I was the one doing the murals and all of that, we got the opportunity to manage it in 2019. Long story short, we bought it January 1st, 2020. And that was a really excellent time to buy a not doing so great small business. Closed about 70 days later, and that was our trial by fire by as small business owners of leaders of a CrossFit affiliate. Was how do you navigate the boogeyman that was COVID? In an odd way, not that COVID was good for anybody, because it definitely wasn't good for us either, but it did allow us to galvanize a group of individuals around health and wellness. We kind of got our story straight about why we were doing this. And so, in a nutshell, that's how the affiliate became ours. We were part of the leadership team. We loved CrossFit. Mm-hmm. We're not OGs, but 2012, 2013, we were in it. We were part of that next wave. We were part of the popular wave for sure.
Yeah. First guy on the Zen Planner, right?
So yeah, I was the first guy on the Zen Planner. That's 001 for sure.
What were you doing before you took ownership of the CrossFit gym as far as other ways to, how were you generating income?
How did I pay my bills? Yep. My wife is an accountant by trade, very helpful when you're running a small business.
Yeah.
And she's still an accountant, but though she is fully employed full time at the gym, and I am technically still a paramedic. I'm still licensed as a provider, but I teach at the junior college very part time. And but not that long ago, I was working on medevac helicopter in the civilian sector, transporting 911 activation traumas or medical emergencies up in the foothills of the Sierras or in the middle of nowhere, as well as doing like a high level ICU inner facility transport work, working with a nurse and a pilot and taking very sick people and very hurt people all over the state of California.
Is that similar to what is considered life flight?
Yeah, it very synonymous. Medevac, life flight. These are synonymous words. Yes, I did Metaflight.
And you mentioned that, and I agree with you that CrossFit is a great way to forge adult relationships. Because I did the same thing. I might have moved a little bit further than you because I'm from Tampa, Florida originally, and now I live in Hawaii. So I went about as far as you could possibly go in the United States. And you know, most of my friends and community that I have now, probably 70, 80% of them are from CrossFit here in Kona, Hawaii. So that is a great thing about CrossFit. Was there anything else that kind of hooked you personally? Maybe training style, something else that kind of got you involved with CrossFit?
I have a pretty deep aquatics background, and my wife is a gymnast. So we kind of have, we lean athletic to begin with. But when you come into a CrossFit gym and you do a workout and you've done anything that looks like maybe like a 100 meter freestyle, those two exercising regimens of like the 3-2-1 go, jumping off the blocks and swimming really hard or really fast, mm-hmm. is essentially the same emotion that you get when you get like a 3-2-1 go. So that when I did try CrossFit, it really like sunk its teeth into me, because I implicitly understood intensity. I already understood. It was just like how we were delivering the intensity, how we were delivering the quote race was very similar from my background. And then Gabby being a very badass 5-foot-nothing gymnast, is she was hooked right away. She was like, oh, I get to do pull-ups and muscle-ups. Like, this is my jam. And so That's when she really starts to thrive in the fitness space, even as a, you know, 30-something-year-old mom. She can still sling herself over those bars whenever she wants.
Yeah, it took me a long time to be able to sling myself over the bar.
Gabby was like, oh, I can do that right now. They were like, this is your first day. You should chill out. They're like, no, she's like, I want to go do that now.
Yeah, it's funny. The guys that come in that have never done CrossFit and they just do a muscle up, like it's no problem. It behooves me. But
yes, it can be annoying. I understand that entirely.
But I think that's pretty common what you mentioned. You know, and a lot of other people that I talked to had an experience when they were younger. Normally it was with some type of group athletics. For me, it was football, where you're kind of forced to do these hard workouts that you just want to quit. You don't know why they're putting you through this. And then at the end, you feel better. And overall, you know, it makes you better. So that's kind of the same thing that got me hooked with CrossFit. And you mentioned that you kind of acquired the gym. Can you tell me a little bit about the phase of, it was obviously under other ownership, then you acquired the gym. What was that transition like, and kind of what led up to that?
I think that we were ultimately, this is all hindsight, I think ultimately we were the only buyers of the business. I think there was some truth of that back then during the negotiations, but I could have leveraged that conversation maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think it would have made a more professional transfer of the business, but I didn't know. I was a paramedic. I was enthusiastic about the opportunity of running a small business. I was enthusiastic with the idea of leading the tribe. So we negotiated a price that essentially covered the brand and the equipment. So mm-hmm. we did give some value to the name Mid-State CrossFit, and which it had some following, it had some members, but the understanding of like contracts for members and why that is important, or what is the implicit value of used equipment? Like what should I be paying? Leases and communicating with landlords, that was a big miss on our end. These general business practices that if I ever did it again, I'd be much more savvy at. Those were the most novice. I wouldn't call myself a buffoon, because that we did know what we were doing, but you just don't know what mm-hmm. you don't know. When it comes to buying CrossFit affiliates, I think I'm more of the most common version of that story. Is the business is being sold, someone's excited about buying it, and the details be damned. But really, the devil's in the details, so you should sink your teeth in that a little bit. But I hope to one day have the opportunity to help people through that story arc a little bit better. Do as I say, not as I do is not the right terminology, but it's more mm-hmm. like, don't make my dumb mistakes. You don't have to do what I did. You can do what I did better.
Yeah. And that's one of the hopes of what we're doing here, is to share this information. And so that way somebody could potentially watch this podcast or another podcast and just get a few ideas so they can avoid some of those pitfalls. So my next question, and I do have kind of, I know exactly I can have an open-ended conversation, but I do have a kind of a structure here. So I stay on point. So my next question is, you know, if you had to do it differently, what would you do? And you kind of mentioned the devil's in the details with the leases and anything. Can you expound a little more on that? Or if you already covered it, that's okay. We can move on.
Yeah, I think what we should have done is just slowed down a little bit. I think generally we should have just slowed down and opened the books more thoroughly and gone piece by piece on things like who actually owns this equipment. Because I'll give you a for example. When mm-hmm. COVID hit, people were like, I'm going to take my things home. And I've been owning the business for a whopping 70 days.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like pulling GHDs into their trucks. I was like, hey, wait. I'm under the impression that I just bought that.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I was letting them borrow this and now it's coming home with me. And I was like, well, I guess you are going to go do that because I'm going to try to keep some goodwill between you and I, and I'm just going to have this problem over here that I just ultimately never addressed anyway. It was what it was. I don't think that anybody was doing anything of ill will, but that was a little like, I don't know exactly what I bought. And that's kind of a problem.
Understand. And it sounds like, would it be fair to say that you bought the gym as it was kind of on a downturn, or
how? I would describe it as a facility that had love, but lost some of the passion. So everybody loved Midstate, but I don't think the owners at that time were passionate about looking at their own futures and being like, I want to do this particular work for the next 15 to 20 years. And because they didn't have that vision for themselves, it reflected in how they took care of the equipment, how they took care of their people, how they took care of their membership pool, what sort of invigoration were they doing into their own business to, you know, keep people engaged. Those sorts of things were lacking passion. And we hit Midstate currently with tons and tons of passion. And I think that's why our result speaks for themselves.
Okay. And you mentioned COVID. Can you talk a little bit about how you navigated and how you obviously, some gyms didn't survive. You obviously survived and sounds like you're thriving now. So how did you make that transition in and out of COVID?
We didn't. So strategically, California was an odd state. We were the last ones to open. So I call it a speakeasy, but we, after about 70 something days, we opened, quote, illegally. Like we just, social media was off, website was not being addressed. It was very like word of mouth. Like you have to come in, like I'm not returning phone calls because I don't know if you're like the health department calling me or not. So we really just closed ranks and no one quit any jobs. So I stayed as a paramedic full time. My wife stayed as an accountant at a nonprofit full time. And then Midstate paid its own bills. And it took us about 2 to 3 years to get out of that hustle. And when we found the window to allow myself to leave a full-time work and then Gabby to leave full-time work, we pulled that trigger then. But it was an odyssey. We definitely ran thin for quite some time. We lost most of our coaching staff. We lost about 25%, 30% of total athlete pool. And that was still enough to pay the bills because we were doing most of the work. No one was doing, we were doing our own cleaning. We were doing our own programming. Anything that was like extra, those were all, you know, taken off the monthly expenses. And it's no way to grow a business, but it was, we were able to sustain.
And how long did you operate like that, Brian?
Oh, at least 24 months, at least, probably closer to 30. I wouldn't say it was a full 3 years, but it's somewhere in that window. It's like 24 to 30 months, 32 months, 3 full years of grinded out.
Yeah. Well, congratulations for surviving that and being able to manage that. When do you feel, because you acquired the gym, you said that you acquired it and it definitely needed some love and some life breathed back into it. And then COVID hit. So you have that on your shoulders. And then when do you think that, because you mentioned that you guys finally kind of stopped having to do all the other, you mentioned hustles, all the other little jobs.
Yeah, all the jobs.
When did it feel like your gym had turned that corner when you guys could kind of take a step back and start focusing just on Midstate?
we were able to turn that corner when we got back to and sustained 150 members over the course of about 6 months. That was really when we were able to look at our expenses and say, one of us can bring this thing to a whole nother level if we were full time in the facility. So that means I'm still coaching all the classes to a decent amount, but now I could spend my time coaching coaches. I can spend my time dialing social media messaging. I can dial in my reinvigoration programs and mentorship and advocacy for my clients. That's going to increase my retention. And right mm-hmm. when we got to about 150 members, did we really feel confident and sustain it, feel confident mm-hmm. that it was time for someone to be full-time. That happened to be me.
And how many members do you have now, Brian?
We float in the 200s, low 200s.
Okay.
We've toyed, got into the precipice of 250 a couple of times. And mm-hmm. right as we think it's going to happen, it doesn't. That's where we live.
So that's kind of where you feel you're...
Yeah, we're bottlenecked, whatever it is, whether it's our processes or retention practices, or we haven't quite found that perfect combination of humans. We have mm-hmm. not quite yet broken that 250 number.
I took a quick look. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, please. You said you took a quick look.
I took a quick look at Merced, California on maps before I got on here. What's the population? What's your community? What do you kind of have? What's your demographic that you have to pull from there?
I got a couple of jokes about Merced. We are 2 hours from everything. You want to go to a Giants game? 2 hours. You want to go surfing in Santa Cruz? 2 hours. You want to go to Monterey Bay? 2 hours. You want to go to Yosemite? 2 hours. You want to go hiking in the like beautiful lake area of Dunn, like, you know, anything Donner Pass or Pacific Crest Trail, that 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We are 15 minutes from absolutely nothing. There's nothing particularly nearby worth telling you about, but yeah. we are very Central Valley, centrally located, mid-state, right? Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of nothing, but God, we're close to nothing. We're you know, in the middle of everything, but close to nothing. We got about, it's a predominantly Hispanic population, lots of Mexican heritage, along with like variations of Dutch, Portuguese, and Italian. It's about 80,000 people in the city proper of Merced. Okay. But generally the way that the valley operates is I pull people in from a town called Chowchilla. I pull in individuals from a town called Atwater. That's actually where I'm from, the town cityship of Atwater. These are all large town, small city variations of one another up and down the 99 corridor, which is kind of like this megaplex of just mm-hmm. endless cities with almond orchards in between them. And that's you could be legitimately 10 to 12 miles away from my facility. You would not bat an eye at making that commute. But if you were 12 miles away in like, say, inner city Boston, there's mm-hmm. not a snowball's chance in hell you're coming to my gym. Right. Like that's not how we ride. The same thing mm-hmm. with Tampa. If you're two exits away, you're too far away. So, but that's not, I get to pull from a larger population pool. Just because the nature of the lifestyle that is this 99 corridor Central Valley thing, but Merced's kind of on the up. We recently got a University of California here. There's lots of construction happening. The city might not look and feel the way it looks and feel currently in a positive way in about 20 years. We hope to be part of the cornerstone of that transformation.
Are you right? Smack dab in the middle of the city there?
We're in downtown district, but if you came to the outside of my building, you'd be like, what in God's green earth is this place? And then you'd come inside and be like, oh, this is kind of cool. But mm-hmm. on the outside, we're not the prettiest looking building on the outside. That's for sure.
I think a lot of CrossFit boxes share that same amenities. Yeah. Once you go inside, you're like, wow.
Yeah, this is cool. Oh, this is cool. Oh, look at this. This is really pleasant. Oh, it's so mm-hmm. clean in here. You would never know that from the outside.
Maybe you mentioned it. What's the main industry there in Merced? What's
this is agriculture to the gills, man. If you have eaten an almond recently, I can damn near guarantee that's from us. Sweet potatoes, I can damn near guarantee that's us.
Okay.
So, but agriculture for sure is the dominant industry here.
As far as marketing is concerned, you know, I'm pretty confident in saying this, that word of mouth and old members dragging new members into your gym is probably the best way to bring new members in. But have you explored and done different types of marketing there in the area?
We don't do paid marketing as a policy. I have four administrative staff members. Some of them do coach on the coaching floor, but most of our work, our admin staff, is associated with outreach and retention practices. But we don't have any strategies as in like paid advertisements. All of our branding is associated with being pretty dang inclusive, but we expect we're selling CrossFit. We're not, you too can be fit and healthy and have world-class fitness and it looks like hard work, but you'll love it. That's all of that branding remains true to us, but we are definitely showcasing, hey, look at this. My mother-in-law, she's 65 years old and she's doing CrossFit. So we're trying to highlight individuals like that, or, you know, the young and upcoming kid that lost 50 pounds, or the individual that lost 100 pounds and is, you know, expressing world-class fitness, but, you know, he's got a story behind that. He didn't always look like that. That is right. Definitely our branding. But what you mentioned just a moment ago of word of mouth, referrals, that's our bread and butter.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned you had fluctuate around 200 members. Other than memberships, do you have any other streams of revenue that your gym creates?
Sort of. So the answer is yes, but it's still CrossFit. So we have our nutrition program, which is more like a mindset program, camouflaged as a nutrition program. And then we have our adaptive athletes. So we partnered with the Department of Disabilities and the regional centers. Ours is called the Central Valley Regional Center. And we became a vendor for them. And so we take on adaptive athletes. This can vary widely. This could be intellectual disabilities. This could be Down syndromes. This could be genetic abnormalities in which people are qualified to receive aid to do life. We are considered a rec program. And what we do is we assign those people a coach as a personal trainer, with the end goal being that they are almost like a teacher's aide in the CrossFit classroom. So we have a head coach, and then we have our adaptive athlete assistant coach who's directly assigned to that individual. It's branded as personal training, but we aim for it to be inclusive into the community, because generally that's actually what these individuals need. It's just they would not be able to operate in a class setting like a CrossFit gym without that steady hand of the personal trainer helping guide through the classroom experience. It's been very successful. We've got 17 athletes in the program right now. They vary between one-on-one personal training experiences and integrated into the classroom. It just really depends on the individual.
That's awesome. I've never heard of this program. How'd you get introduced and involved?
We, blessings from the universe. Gabby has a cousin. His name's Adam, and he's nonverbal autism. He has a very crazy story, but essentially what has happened is his saint of a mother, her name is Kathy Zora, taught this man how to speak through the spellers program. Essentially, you get a board and they point at letters, which then allows them to speak through the person who's working with them. And he writes poetry now. He can use a keyboard and in a radio, like a almost like the Stephen Hawking's computer voice. I'm sure it's going to get better with artificial intelligence. But Adam, who looks very much like a severely disabled nonverbal man, can write poetry, can do CrossFit. He came in so kyphotic, and now he stands with shoulders back, and he's still nonverbal, but he says, "All done." And that means you're not quite done yet.
Okay.
and other things like that. It's really quite incredible. I hope to showcase that experience a little bit more as time progresses. He's only about a year in, maybe a little bit over a year. We've seen great results with him. And we have 17 other athletes since Adam allowed us the opportunity to go on this journey with them. So it's a little bit, I definitely give a lot of credit to Kathy and Adam Zora for coming to us with the guts to be like, hey, I think that Adam can do CrossFit. And I'm like, oh boy. And then I definitely big kudos to our team for agreeing that, like, hey, I think we can do this. And and so that it is now a significant revenue stream for us, but it's still CrossFit. Like, I don't want you to think that Adam's not doing CrossFit. He's doing some subversion of this. He's definitely doing couplets and triplets. The intensity and the way it looks is just slightly different. And you have to, have you ever taken the Adaptive Training Academy class by any chance?
I have not.
It's wild.
I think your coaches are all certified in the ATA.
Yep. That's correct. Yep. But we were able to get a grant, and that allowed us the opportunity to send a bunch of teachers, a bunch of coaches to learn. And they like to say that adapting a workout is not scaling a workout. They're not synonymous with one another. And you just know that sometimes the points of performance that are inside of your head for the air squat, Adam might never do it just like that, but he's going to get damn close for how we adapt it for him. And then you just celebrate those wins. It really is quite something.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's great that you're doing that. It provides such a great thing to members of the community that normally wouldn't get the chance to experience CrossFit, you know. And one of the next things I was going to talk about with your team, you do have to have everybody on board with that 100%. What kind of team? Let's talk a little bit about your team, your coaches, admin.
Yeah, so it looks like I'm the boss. Okay. I would definitely describe my wife as the boss. She is the CEO and president. Ultimately, anything that I say, Gabby could definitely nix it to a no. And so the hierarchy, it definitely would go like my wife.
Is that at the gym or at home or both?
Both. Yeah. We work really well together, but I definitely know that. And wisely so. She is part of the reason why I get to have interviews like this, because she manages us so well. And then I identify and manage the gym as the head coach. So I am the coach of coaches. I'm the one having the tough conversations about quality of product on the floor and where our directions are, what's the master plan. Those ideas are generally being put through and galvanized by me. Then we have a general manager. Her name's Erin Lodwick. She's an L2, an adaptive athlete trainer. And she is in it with us. Like, anything that has occurred culturally, especially like our family oriented aspect, Erin has definitely been a guiding force in that. We've got a bunch of kids that are growing up in this facility and watching people exercise. I don't know what that does for children, but when your parents have other friends that exercise together and are living healthy lifestyle choices, what the ramifications are that for an 8-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 4-year-old to see and observe and you know, navigate around, time will tell, but I think it's a net good. And then we have, like 8 coaches varying level 1s and 2s. I have another coach, Dan Mast, very successful athlete. He's an L3. I have one primary administrative individual. She's our social media and events coordinator, Amanda Marchini. She just put on a really excellent event this past weekend with the Mid-State Games. And so I think there's about 15 of us.
Okay. Mid-State Games, is that your competition?
It's the most user-friendly in-house competition you've ever experienced in your entire life. Like, we programmed ring rows and we were dead serious about the standards of the ring row. And what it does is it allows us to, in in-house competition, super user-friendly, allow athletes to come to realize that adrenaline and competitive natures actually are good for your results. And it allows you to showcase intensity in a way that you probably are not doing in every class. We were a little bit leg dominant this year. I think everybody's quads and glutes are smoked, but that was a really, really fun experience. We do it at a really high scale so that we've got a bunch of like buy-in, not only from myself, I want to do a good job with everything, but with our clients, they're like, holy smokes, this is cool. And I'm like, yeah, this is super cool. This is exercising quickly. Don't you think that's cool? And then building retention through that.
You also have the Raz and Health Fitness.
Yeah. Raisin. I got to change the brand. I really thought that Raisin was going to stick, but everybody calls it Raz.
I see.
Like bringing it up. So Raisin Health, the fitness festival, we did a CrossFit competition last year. This year, we're going to not do a CrossFit competition, but we're still doing a 5K, a 10K, live music, vendors. We're still talking health and wellness at the local tap house at, it's called the Tarmac Brewery, and it's a Lakers brewery here in the Central Valley. And it just gives us an opportunity to get outside of our gym, get outside of the box. And that, I would argue, is probably our non-word of mouth actual promotions for Mid-State, but it's more like a cause than it is directly associated with Mid-State. Now, if you want to come and hang out with Mid-State after this, we are a sponsor of this event, but it's this other thing that we do.
And what would you say that's kind of unique about, because you've probably been to quite a few CrossFit gyms, I would assume. What would you say is unique about your gym's vibe or the community there? What would set you apart from maybe other gyms?
I think it's the intention of our advocacy and mentorship. So Raisin Health, Mid-State CrossFit, our vision words are self-responsibility, advocacy, and mentorship. So this is where I think a lot of CrossFit gyms miss the mark. And if we did a little bit more of this, we'd all be thriving. So we have to teach first the self-responsibility of coming to the gym. But that's not regular. I recently read a book. It's called Exercised. Someone who's been exercised. And the entire idea, the premise of exercise for like animal makes zero sense. The idea of being sedentary is actually far more normal across the animal kingdom than it is to expend non-necessary calories for X. But that's what we sell. What I sell is, in the modern world, we have a sedentary lifestyle and we are calorically rich, and the calories that you can find are actually kind of poor in quality. So you have to exercise. The entire idea that people are going to go into a gymnasium, know what to do, how to do it regularly, so that to the point of ouch, and then repeat that, is incredibly unlikely. So we have to teach that self-responsibility by coming to the classroom. Then we mentor. We talk about nutrition. We talk about mindset. We talk about the little wins so that people can start to build some momentum on their daily exercise regimen. And then we purposely advocate for those individuals to find peers. So it's this three-legged stool of, you have to show up and do the work, but I'm going to make sure that you know why you're doing that work. And then I'm going to help you learn how to best optimize your life, so the work gets more fun, the work becomes part of your lifestyle. And what we're talking about is exercise. Like, what if we don't have, like, CrossFit has this, you think of something when you think of CrossFit. There's a style of human, there's an emotion that's put out there. If we just say that we exercise quickly, the entire, you get real nerdy real fast. If you're like, hey, MF-er, I burpee faster than you, and that makes me cooler than you. You're like, that's super nerdy and pretty lame. But like, if that's what you're into, man, if we can get more people to buy into the idea that this is cool, it'll go a long way. So the three-legged stool that really separates us is our intention of education.
Would you say this is kind of what I've seen, and this is crossover to most things that are kind of hard in life, is, you know, and I have a few things, but sometimes people have a tendency to give up before you actually see the results.
Correct.
So to carry people through that point of like the 3 month, the 6 month point, because most people that I see in CrossFit or in life in general, if you stick to it enough to see the actual results, then you kind of get hooked in it. You have to have some discipline. You have to have the routine. But now, you know, it went from, you know, kind of hard to get up and go to the gym and have excuses and reasons not to, I read some kind of post on, it must have been Instagram. It's like, you know, you made it when you feel terrible when you take a day off from the gym. So that transition from not working out to getting to that point is what I feel people really need, you know, help with that. Like you mentioned, your three phases that you do is just that motivation to get to that point. And it's the same in business. You know, I mean, you guys experienced it probably, you know, when you hit COVID, you just had to stick in there long enough and be disciplined enough and keep your eye, everything moving forward until you started to get the results. Now you're between 150 and 200 memberships. So this type of attitude that we have or can gain in CrossFit can carry over into all other aspects in life.
There's a million analogies I could spew right now. There's tons of lip service out there about like the fitness industry or the hustle industry or the business industry. People love catchphrases, but ultimately I like to go back to Pat Sherwood's idea of the best teams he was ever a part of were equal combinations of hard work and laughter. And it's like, maybe I think of like your football teams, like your hard work was definitely associated with some version of banter, either toward the coaching staff that was forcing the exercise to happen, or the how did we get ourselves into the situation in the first place, or who do I blame for this hard work that I'm putting into? And then the smack talking that comes along with that.
Oh yeah.
If we can create more of that for adults, then I think that the entire society will shift in a positive direction. And our angle is families. So if I get a wife talking a little bit of shit to her husband about exercising faster than him, moving better than him, how many reps do they get? How does that change their choices at the kitchen table? And if they're changing their story at the kitchen table, how much more likely are they going to prioritize sleep, which means they're on social media less, which means they're going to make better choices about their breakfast. And then it's my job as their mentor and advocate to point those things out. That's where I really think that we miss it for CrossFit is you're thinking that you're coaching only the hour. And while your coaching staff might be responsible for that hour, you're responsible for coaching those coaches so they do a really good job on the floor and execute the classroom experience at the highest possible level for them. And then it's your gig to get in it with people and really start to own the idea that you're like this little microcosm of an influence, and your job isn't to influence 10,000 people on your Instagram following.
Right.
It's your job is to influence the 100 members inside your affiliate and turn them into on fire athletes of whatever gym they're associated with. So when I save my people's numbers in my phone, I save them as Zach, mid-state athlete. And then it's my job to teach them how to live an athletic lifestyle.
Brian, I love that philosophy. I really do. So beside, and we talked a little bit about the training that you do there. Do you got, and you do some nutritional coaching. Are those extra things that you offer above your CrossFit membership?
Yes, but no.
Okay.
Yes, there is a premium service in which I will sit with you an hour per month and review things on a weekly basis associated with more like aesthetic needs. You are looking to count calories. You're looking to dive into paleo. You're looking to a goal of some sort, a personalized programming. These could be upcharges that exist, but at the base, you're always going to be receiving, like, for example, about three times a year, maybe a little bit less in 2025, but in the past, we've done three what we call sickness, wellness, fitness seminars. These are free to the public. Most of the time, these are educational, they're designed to be educational seminars for both the gym members and the public, in which we deep dive for about an hour or so, nutritional content, metabolism systems, sciencey things, get a little bit nerdy about CrossFit, essentially teach the CrossFit level one, but in my own way, pretend I'm a seminar staffer for an afternoon or a morning. And then we'll do a workout together. And this gives us an opportunity to teach. And we're doing WOD blogs about possible recipes, or we're doing mindset stuff about being a little bit more on point. We'll do challenges about food, whether it's like an EC Sinkowski thing, or maybe we're doing something in-house. Maybe we're just focusing it on water. There's nutritional things at the base of the pyramid that's built into your membership. But if you want me to measure you, I'm gonna charge you extra for measuring you.
Of course.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I kind of missed, have you tried any classes, anything that's kind of flopped? Is there anything that you guys implemented that just didn't seem to take off like you had anticipated?
We try to stay pretty tried and true to this is what we do and this is how we do it. Mm-hmm. Well, flopping is hard to articulate. Do we measure or give ourselves baselines that are maybe a little far-fetched? I think like the Raisin Health Fitness Fest is a great example of this. I changed the goalpost of my own success about 5 times last year leading up to that event. And what that was doing to my psyche was making it seem like we were failing. But really, when I talked to my mentor, one of my mentors, Marcus Gersey, he was like, Brian, you keep moving the goalpost. You said success was this, and you reached that, and then you said it was this now. And then, so I think it's really important to keep in mind what a reasonable goalpost is for quote success, and just execute on that the best you can. I think things, not so much initiatives, but more like staying consistent on the day-to-day operations, those are usually where we fit, where we fail. I'll get like a good idea fairy will come into my head, and it'll take away from my retention practices or reaching out to my clients. And so then that means that like, oh, why did we lose that membership? Why did that particular person leave? Usually that's a flop on my end because I wasn't advocating and mentoring them the way I intended to. And then they got too far away from attending classes. They didn't see the implicit value of the lifestyle, and then they canceled their membership. And oftentimes I reflect back on that, like, that's me missing. That's a miss on my part. I'm not taking ownership of the most important thing, which is these individuals.
And that's a great attitude to take, because the other attitude to take is, oh, you know, maybe they didn't have the money. You know, there's a lot of excuses as a gym owner. You can tell yourself why that person left, other than maybe possibly it's something that I did or didn't do, for example.
I always take my cancellations way too personally. I should probably stop doing that. But flops on initiatives, no. And there's nothing, we really try to do a really good job every time. And I think because we've done that, we get the graces from our clients and the people that attend. You know, if I get 18 people sitting around talking about, you know, protein, carbs, and fats, that's a win. Did I fill every seat? No. But like 15 out of 150 members is 10%. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. Do you offer, as far as other revenue, you guys probably have some merchandise, I would assume shirts and those type of things. Do you, do you do anything else? Any supplements? Do you guys offer anything like that?
Yes. Yep. We do. We sure do. I find the best thing that sells in all of the business is creatine by Podium. They don't want the protein. They want the creatine. And then we do Earth Fed Muscle. And then we have like miscellaneous branded things. Like we have branded wrist wraps, and got those off in person on Etsy, and they do, those were awesome. But you know, once everybody's got wrist wraps, now I've got a whole bunch of wrist wraps and hats. What hats will sell every once in a while. Right now we've got some dad hats out there, but sometimes you sit on merchandise. We usually do about 1 to 2 like super over the top art from one of my local artists that I want to like throw a slap t-shirt, like do this particular mid-state thing and send me your ideas and let's work back and forth to make a cool, unique t-shirt. We'll do that about once or twice a year. And then we've got like our tried and true branding, which is the shield or our bare face.
And Podium, that's the brand that you use for the creatine?
Yeah, Podium, okay. Which is, I don't know if it's owned by Matt Fraser per se, but he's definitely like in the mix of that. I do appreciate that brand came out of the space. And then EarthFed is just got a little bit less, oh gosh, they're all the same, man. But quote, they have less negative bad things in them. So there's something to be said about that. But it's all got sucralose. It all stays on the shelves far longer than is appropriate as far as like eating whole foods goes. But yes, absolutely. We do sell. And I take supplements myself. So I'm not trying to say that I don't.
Okay. So kind of looking ahead, here's kind of a tough question that I like to ask. Is there something that you know, or you've been thinking about that you're convinced that needs to be done that you just haven't done yet? Something that's been brewing in the background that haven't taken action on? And the answer to that can be no, but sometimes there's
I got a bunch of shit that I need to get done.
Yeah.
I particularly have been having a hard time recently staying consistent on my coaching evaluations for my coaching staff, due to a bunch of reasons, but I mostly blame kids sports. I mostly blame kids sports for the reason why I'm a bit absentee on my coaches' coaching evaluations. I'm coming for you guys. And then secondly, it's things like a newsletter and a reinvigoration email campaign, like a regular newsletter email campaign that'll keep my cold leads warm and my warm leads hot. That, like, why am I not doing that yet? Why does that not exist yet? There's no reason I'm not doing that. And it has been like on the top 10 of my priority list for like 3 years. And we just don't do it. And I have, at this point, I have almost no excuse. But that's how we will get people to keep at least the name Mid-State CrossFit in their, on their eyeballs. Mm-hmm. So that eventually they can come to the idea of like, now's the time, or it's time to go back, or some variation of that thought process.
Would that be email or actual letter mailed?
Oh, how cool would it be to get actually good mail? We send out personalized birthday cards by mail, handwritten, to every member. That's something big that we do read the mail. I don't know if a newsletter, maybe that would become trash, possibly, but definitely by email. But okay. to just speaking to mail, I send a personalized note to every member of Mid-State CrossFit.
That's awesome.
For their birthdays. It's from me, it's from us, to them. All the coaches write their names and sign into it. It's very genuine. There's nothing automated about that system at all.
Most people, all you get in the mail now are bills.
Yeah. When you see our handwritten name and you open it up and it's our handwritten note and it's speaking about like, hey, great job on that push press. I hope you can't believe that this is only the beginning. These are just examples.
That's awesome. What's next for your gym? Any expansion, new services, anything in the works?
We are working toward the idea of owning the facility in which we operate out of. I think that's how affiliate owners like myself will have retirement. Mm-hmm. And so like be the real estate owner of the building that my gym then subleases to my trust, that would, you know, like this self-fulfilling thing. That is where we should be going. I think that's where actually most affiliate owners should be aiming their compasses at. And through that, I actually think that we can create some industry longevity. I was talking to Don Fowle a couple of months ago. I had the opportunity to talk to him privately. And I told him, I'm afraid that CrossFit could become karate. And he was like, what do you mean? And I said, karate's a thing. We know what karate is, right? Mm-hmm. Where's your nearest dojo? Where's all the guys and all the girls from Karate Kids era, where there was dojos on every corner? Where's those dojos? And I'm afraid that if we don't do this right, we will be as big as karate was, because I could argue we were, you know, and then, you know, look at martial arts and how it's gone. And then there won't be any CrossFit affiliates, because that's like an old way of doing things. Karate isn't mixed martial arts. This new thing exists. And right. So I'm very cognizant of and aware that we could be karate if we do it the wrong way. Because people really do still love CrossFit. My affiliate doesn't give a hoot about what is going on with CrossFit HQ or the CrossFit Games. They couldn't care less. What they identify as CrossFit is Mid-State CrossFit and how we do business and how we operate. And I would like to think that we do the CrossFit methodology at a pretty pure essence. We do strength plus Metcon, no judgment here.
Right.
But, you know, I'm always doing strength plus a cookie. I'll get my L-sits in, but, you know, I've got to give them something else. I'm selling a product, and the product is, you know, fitness. Maybe 10 L-sits for a time is not what my people want every day. But that's just a funny example.
Yeah.
I really think that's where we should be aiming our compasses. It's like, own the businesses that you operate as in the building. Have a space in which CrossFit can thrive permanently that is outside of the market's control, meaning your rent. You wouldn't increase your own rent without really thinking about it with your accountant.
Right.
So, but these are things that we can think about. Have you thought about that the same way?
Not in the way that you just broke it down, actually. That was pretty interesting about, because I remember back in the 80s and when karate was the thing. It was on every corner. And yeah, I can see where you're kind of going with that. So that definitely makes sense. What would you tell somebody who is thinking about starting a gym today or in the near future?
I would tell anybody that's going to start opening up affiliate is I don't think there's a better time currently to be investing in human interaction as a business model. So I will go beyond CrossFit and think just human to human interaction between the development of artificial intelligence, education at a distance, changes in population demographics. People are starving for human to human relationships. I couldn't think of a better way of doing that than the coach-athlete relationship that CrossFit provides. That hard work plus laughter peer group stuff that happens inside of a CrossFit affiliate. These are going to be the places in which people congregate. And you're selling it for a net positive for society, meaning less chronic disease, better personal interrelationships amongst peers and family members, but more people looking better naked. I mean, this is a net positive for society. And I think if you think about it as like a third space, a common good, a common center, and you want to build something like that, like a rec center, a community rec center, and then run it as a CrossFit affiliate, I think the sky's the limit for people that want to go that route.
Absolutely. And we want to thank you very much today, Brian, for coming on. Love your philosophy. Sounds like you have a fantastic gym and sounds like the sky's the limit for you. So thank you very much for coming on with us today.
No, I really appreciate the time. It was great. I loved it.